Okay, Rabbi Sai Simulamet Tess. Simulamet Ches, Seif Yud Aleph, we discussed yesterday that a person who is taking tefillin off before his Rebbe. I was just listening today to a share about Hesach Hadas. And then the shiur started as follows. Rabbi Bixen, Spanish shiur. I sometimes listen to him. He's on Kol HaLoshon. So he says that he says a joke, a story. I'm not sure. It's somebody was holding his tefillin shaliyad. Was holding the tefillin. Somebody was holding. The tefillin shel rosh. The tefillin shaliyad was on. It was holding tefillin shel rosh. And so somebody approached him and he said, and this individual was holding a tefillin shel rosh, was like thinking. You could see he was concentrating. So somebody approaches him and he tells him, What are you doing? He says, I have to just think for a minute. He said, what are you thinking about? He says, I don't know if I've got my tefillin shel, I'm on my tefillin shel rosh. So it's either, I'm not sure, I'm either putting tefillin on or tefillin off. I'm not sure what I'm up to. So the point being that he was you know, in that position, you know, when you have to, you know, you're up to tefillin. So he said, I'm not sure, am I putting a tefillin shel rosh on, or am I at the stage of you know, taking the tefillin shel yad off? So he was speaking about Hesach Hadas, that about the consciousness and the awareness a person has to have when we wear tefillin. So that's, of course, the absolute opposite of what we're trying to achieve. Not remembering if where one is holding. Okay. Now this Seif Yud Beis addresses the following, which is this we're going to be doing Seif Yud Beis in Yud Gimel now. Yud Beis is as follows. What happens in the following scenario? Somebody who is unable to afford both tefillin and mezuzahs. They're both fairly expensive. He doesn't have tefillin, enough money for tefillin and mezuzah. And you're going to say, like, no, what is he meant to buy? Now we know that the price difference is quite significant. How much is a mezuzah?
£70
for a nice one. 70 pounds for a mezuzah? You can get cheaper, but if you want a quality assurance, kind of. Yeah, so it does cost. It was actually interesting in that share that I was listening today. He actually said he literally he had a mezuzah in his. It was big and small. I don't know when he gave that share. I just, you know, recorded it. I just put it on my thing recently. He said that was in Golda Screen. It's not a story like in the, you know, in the woods out there. He said in Golda Screen there was an incident of somebody selling mezuzahs, not realizing, and the shopkeeper himself didn't realize nothing. I mean, he didn't mean any bad. He was selling mezuzahs, which Rabbi Bixen Spanner was saying they were paper. They're written on paper. It's probably just a photocopy to make it. You know, to me, it was postal, completely postal mezuzahs sold in Golda Screen by a, you know, genuine normal kind of, you know, shop, and he was selling mezuzahs which were on paper, and you know, often you don't. So the, as you're raising, as you're mentioning, the importance of buying a Yishma. Pardon?
And my Bruce's husband's been looking into it because you've got to be a problem. They can be made in China.
They can be made in China as well. Yeah, So the point is that you've got to make sure where you buy the tefillin from, that you buy it from Yir Shamayim. But it doesn't always help. As somebody once pointed out, even the mashkichim need the hashkocha nowadays. Even the hashkochas need hashkochas just to make sure that they do their job properly. But so what happens if a person has got no? He can either buy tefillin or mezuzah, doesn't have money for both. Shulchan Aruch says tefillin koidmim. Now, why is that? Why is that if you've got only money for tefillin or only mezuzah, why is that tefillin now first? Tefillin come first. Yeah, says the Mishnah, once you've got Lamizan, precisely your words. Tefillin koidmin, dehi mitzvah shebegufa, it's a mitzvah on his body. So it's something which has got more chshivas, more ktusha, more importance, more severity, because it's a mitzvah you perform with and on your body. V'oit, additionally, a second reason, the ktusha's tefillin lemala miktusha's mezuzah. The holiness, the ktusha of the tefillin is greater than mezuzah. Kedele'el simen lamed beis, as we learned earlier in lamed beis. However, this Shulchan Aruch is, as we say, halacha v'loy lemaisa. It's halacha, but it's not what we do. Again, Shulchan Aruch says, if you only have money for tefillin mezuzahs, you go for tefillin because it's greater ktusha. And I'm saying, this is not, it's halacha v'loy lemaisa, it's not what you actually do. Why? No. It's not what you act, if you physically, if halacha lemaisa, if somebody really got that case, if that's his budget, he only has to pay mezuzah. Halacha lemaisa, this is untrue. You're gonna buy mezuzah not to fit in. Why? Simple. Pardon? No. Practically speaking. No. Well, it does, but that's not. No. 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 Says the Mishnah Berurah. Mi uledi don for us she'ein menichin rak b'shoas kiyas shema v'tfila us that we only put on tefillin for kiyas shema tefila im efsha b'she'ela if you can borrow somebody else's tefillin just lend tefillin what's the big deal mezuzah kedema is the efsha b'she'ela when it comes to mezuzah can I borrow your mezuzah can't borrow your mezuzah because what's going to be with your house can't borrow mezuzahs but when it comes to tefillin. What's the problem? You know, of course, I know you got to do the knot and you need to make sure and all that, but in principle, there's nothing wrong with borrowing somebody else's bit. So therefore, the Shulchan Aruch's words make sense, but that's not halacha lemaisa, because if somebody doesn't have tefillin, then he should really borrow somebody else.
And wore tefillin all day,
yeah, then he wouldn't.
Revert to the
machabim. Absolutely correct. That's exactly what the Mishnah Berurah is saying. It's based on the fact that we only put him in kiyas shema tefillin. So that's what. So halacha lemaisa, that is the scenario. It is. I was wondering about it. I was wondering. Sometimes you see collections for very poor, you know, and it reminds me of specifically for bar mitzvah boys, tefillin, all that, and of course it's a mitzvah and everything. But it reminds me of a story of Reb Chaim. I may have mentioned it with Reb Chaim Briska. There was an asif. It was a conventional, a meeting of gedolim. This was post World War I, where the situation, financial situation, was very, very dire and very bad in many countries, excluding Germany. In many countries, it was really, really bad, especially in Poland. Ukraine was very, very bad. And therefore, they made a collection and said one of the serious problems that they mentioned and discussed by that meeting was that families don't have money for the bar mitzvah boys to buy tefillin. Can't buy tefillin for the bar mitzvah boys. And they made a kind of a matching campaign. Well, not a matching campaign, but what a defending campaign. And then Reb Chaim Briska said he doesn't support it. He doesn't support it. Because if they don't have money, they should rather buy... No? No? Send money for? No? 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 Much more important than that. Food! Send them food! I said food, I didn't hear. Send them food, send them money, parcels of food and vouchers for the groceries. Just send them food. Tefillin, they can share tefillin, they can take the father's tefillin, they can take, it's no big deal. But not food is the priority. So he didn't support that campaign. Rabbi Isai, that's the background to this. If you gimel, menuda metzoyra surim laniach tefillin. So what is a menuda? A yid who is put in cheirem. And somebody is a metzoyra. As God says, Asurim Naniach Tefillin is not to put on Tefillin. The Mishnah Berurah disagrees. And the Mishnah Berurah says so much so the Vilna Gaon holds that they should. Yes. It's a Teiku Mokatim. I don't remember the Teiku, but yeah, the Mishnah Berurah does bring from the Vilna Gaon that a person they should, that both of them and the Mitzvah should put on Tefillin. In fact, they can even make brachas. So discussing who are the who is the one that actually writes the tefillin, who is kosher to write the tefillin. See if Aleph teaches us tefillin kosher eved or isha. A tefillin which was written by eved, a slave, or isha, a woman, or a cotton, or a child, a minor, priva mitzvah, afilu egil chinuch, even if the child has already reached the age of chinuch, or a kusi. Oy, a mumah lavodes gilulim, or a yid who is a mumah lavodes gilulim, a who is a non, who pardon, who is a mumah. He doesn't believe in Hakadosh Baruch Hu, but he serves the idols. Then oy, or that's an interesting one, moisala anosim, which means that he's an informant to authorities or to people that will take away people's money and possessions. That's a moisa la anosim. Anosim means people who who take by force people's possessions, they're psulin, all those tefillin apostles. So again, who cannot write tefillin? We've got the following people: Eved, Isha, child, even Igyan Lechinuch, Kusi, Mumalavaris Kilulim, and Moistel and Osman informant. Why? Because it says, Mishum Dixibu Kshartim Chsaftom. So we see the connection between writing and tying. Kol she'enu b'kshir, whoever doesn't tie the tefillin, in other words, doesn't put on tefillin, or enu ma'amin bo, who doesn't believe in tefillin, enu b'kshir. Fascinating, fascinating. We have a concept over here. Whoever doesn't put on tefillin, or who doesn't believe in tefillin, cannot write tefillin. So the examples are, who cannot put on tefillin? A woman cannot put on tefillin. A child cannot put on tefillin. Somebody who doesn't believe in tefillin doesn't put on tefillin. And these are the cases over here. Pardon? Because somebody, the Moisel Anos in the Mishneh Berurah, explains that he qualifies as in the category of people who don't believe. He is a person that is in the category of a mummer. He doesn't believe. He doesn't respect people's property. He doesn't care about other people. And therefore, he goes in the category of somebody who's not chelik of Klal Yisrael. Why specifically? Yeah, I hear the point. It's a slightly different application, perhaps. Yeah, I hear. Yeah. The Mishneh Berurah speaks about what if somebody doesn't believe. So you're right, because you're actually right in your point. What about, the Mishneh Berurah addresses, what if somebody doesn't keep Muktzah, doesn't believe in Muktzah? He's over on Muktzah. He's okay to move his, what's Muktzah? He's happy to, on Shabbos. If he's writing on Shabbos, then it's for sure. I mean, if he does it in public, there's no question about it. He's a mummer. So the question, if he does the Rabbanon, so Mishneh Berurah says also, someone who's over on the Rabbanon publicly cannot write tefillin. The question is, and that's the discussion which we've had previously, and is a very large discussion, what if somebody is not that he doesn't, is a mummer te'ovoin? In other words, it's not that he lacks in belief, he can't be bothered. He's Mechalal Shabbos because he can't be bothered. It's too much Ticha. So does a person like that write Tefillin? Is Tefillin kosher, yes or no? If it's laziness rather than belief, does that invalidate him from... So the Mishnah, we pass him that it's one should be Machmir, not wears a Tefillin. I think it's quite rare. I cannot imagine a Sofer who's Mechal Shabbos, you know, even at the oven. But there is that following question, which I think is a fascinating question. Abayi Sai, what would be the halacha? You know, we spoke about Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin. Now, the minhag of many Ashkenazim is not to put on Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin, but Chassidim do. So imagine the following case. I don't know what the halacha lemaisa, how would you look at it? What is a sofer who's an upnei Ashkenaz, who's a Litvisha sofer? Think of a Litvisha sofer. And is he okay to write Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin or not? What's the argument? Yes. What's the argument? Not. He doesn't believe that it's an obligation. He doesn't believe you have to put on Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin. For sure, it's okay. Why?
It's just a different variant.
But he doesn't believe in that variant.
I need chicken soup, even though I don't need to.
Okay. Does anybody agree with that? So again, we've got a sofer who is here, Shemaim, he's good, but he doesn't believe in putting on Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin. So the argument is, just like, I think it's a very nice shaila, just like somebody doesn't put on Tefillin, what's the drosha is? The drosha is, kol she'enu b'kshira, if you don't put on Tefillin, enu b'ksiva, you don't write Tefillin if you don't believe in it. Well, he doesn't believe in Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin, doesn't put it on.
He shouldn't write it.
You've got to be consistent in life. The Meister Rabbi Sai, it sounds like an extraordinary chumrah. That means that I believe, and I'm not sure, I haven't done a statistics, but I think I love Ashkenaz, generally speaking, there. But Rabbi Sai, Halacha Meister, it's not a problem. It's not a problem. Why is it not a problem? Because the reason why, pardon? No, not quite. Yeah. You're right. But Rabbi Yisrael, why is it that we do not put on Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin? Do you remember? What did the Mos say? Why we don't put Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin? Who does and who doesn't? So the Gemara taught us that who doesn't put on a benutam filling? So the wording of the Gemara was that only somebody who is well known, established, and who's got a, what should we call the Yeshmaim on a higher level, which is established and solid and everything. Do you remember we spoke about not jumping madrigas? We spoke about that. The Gemara says only somebody is well established, solid, Yeshmaim, on that high level. Otherwise, it's Mishum Yehuri, it's like Gaiva. Don't like do like Hoiche Zachen, like Rebbe Shezachen and all that. It's don't. Exactly. Exactly. You got it, absolutely, yeah. So therefore, the argument is, if an Ashkenaz or a Litvisher doesn't put on Tfilin Rabbeinutam, it's not he doesn't believe in it. He just thinks that he's not on that level. He doesn't categorize himself as a great Yeshamayim. Which is fine, that's okay. So it's not that he doesn't believe in Rabbeinu Tam Chalila. He just doesn't believe he fits in that category to put him on. And that's why, halachically speaking, there's no problem. And of course, a literature person can wear Rabbeinu Tam filling as well.
Is there a halachic issue with the Lubavitch thing of putting on people who may be a
mummer? Why would he be a problem? Why would he be a problem? Can't write. We're talking about writing the tefillin. What we are saying is that culture ainu b'kshir, whoever doesn't tie tefillin, ainu b'ksiva. If a person doesn't put on the tefillin, he is invalid to write them. Of course, the mitzvah remains. Of course. So it's not that it can either be not believing or she's not in the category of fulfillment of the mitzvah. So we discussed that, and the Maisa, no. Is we protest, as Ramah says, we protest against women who put on tefillin. We tell them, sorry, you can't. That's what the Ramah says. So the Torah doesn't say she can't, the Torah says she doesn't have to because it's time bound. Now the Ramah, the later authorities say that we don't let. And the main reason which we discussed here was primarily because the Shulchan says first they do what they're obligated to do, and then they can do things that is, you know, first start with the basics, and then afterwards you go into things that you don't have to do. So that's the
basics, then she could do it.
Yeah, but it's not so to do tefillin is not easy because you've got to have proper concentration and you've got to do it properly. So they shouldn't pick that one out of all mitzvahs. Now I want to raise an interesting question and finish off with that tonight, which is brought down in the later Achronim Asur. Why this halacha of a mumar avodas kechovim and why all that could be sometimes nowadays a serious issue? We say, come on, which sofer who doesn't keep Shabbos, you know, would sell mezuzahs and tefillin? Surely this cannot happen in our day and age. We don't have any problems with mezuzahs and tefillin, which are written by you know, people who don't keep Shabbos and all that. So the answer is, yeah, it can be a serious issue. Why? What are you thinking of? Okay, reform rabbi.
He thinks of himself as a
rabbi. Rabbi, and really, okay, I haven't seen that, but it could be.
What about with a shochet?
Yeah, shochet is a very, yeah, okay. But shochet doesn't happen so often, because shochet, they're always under a certain akashas authority, and they don't normally employ people. They actually check a person's yashamayim very, very thoroughly. There's a quite a solid process for shochet to be employed. It's very rare that a shochet. They're both very stringent. Yeah, but the kashrut authorities are very good about sheikhtim. You don't find sheikhtim generally. So now, where it does come in is that this is, you know, we spoke about sefer Torah mezuzahs. What is also besides, we talk about tefillin mezuzahs. Besides tefillin mezuzahs, obviously, what else is also included? Sefer Torah. Now, sefer Torah, listen to that. What is the universal minhag by Sefer Torah, when the Sefer Torah is nearly completed? What happens? The last few letters are either sold, or you honor people, or that's universal, that's the minhag already for centuries, literally centuries. The last few letters are written by VIPs, donations, etc., etc. Oh, yes. Of course it can happen that sometimes people there are sometimes not quite within that category of great Yashamayim. Could be they gave £20,000, but it doesn't necessarily make them into Shema Shabbos and great Yashamayim, the fact that they did £20,000. So here it is. Sometimes you could have a problem there. That the last letters, this is Halach LeMaaseh, Rabbi Yisai, that the last letters of a Sefer Torah may have been written by somebody who is qualified as a Mum LeTeovoin, or somebody who doesn't keep Shabbos, who is over Mukta, etc., which Mishmura disqualifies from Sefer Torah. So what do you have? You end up having the last few letters of a Sefer Torah, which are questionable, and that, of course, invalidates the entire Sefer Torah. Therefore, so what's the answer? Pardon? That's it. There's a few reasons for it, but one of the reasons when you attend the Ksivas Oisius, you will see that normally this is the norm. The sofer, if he knows what he's doing, and that's nowadays normally the case, they will make the outline of the letter. They will do the outline of the letter, which really, halachically speaking, it's already halachically a kosher letter. So you're there for the fun of it. All you're doing is you're trying with difficulty to try to fill in with ink that inside part of the letter, which is actually very, very hard if you're not experienced. You're trying back and forth and you don't know what you're doing. And then the sofer says, very nice, very nice. And then, he finishes off. But that's really the out that you're only like pretending. It's a bit like the child that is like, He shows you how to do it. Whatever I'm saying, yeah. How does he do it?
Yeah, if let's say a letter,
I don't know how they do it, but that's the Metzius. That's how it is. I've seen it. You don't have to do much, but if not for that, there would certainly be a problem with regards to Sefer Torah and this Halach and Shulchan Aruch. Rabbi Yisrael Samuel Zalman, this evening we spoke about Shulchan Aruch says that if you've got to prioritize, Shulchan Aruch says if you've got to prioritize between Tefillin and Mezuzahs, you only got money for one, then what should you choose? Shulchan Aruch says you choose the tefillin. We learned Mishneh Berurah says it's not the case because nowadays you can just share tefillin. We spoke about Menudah Metzora, which is not allowed to put on tefillin. Mishneh Berurah disagrees in the name of the Vilna Gaon. Then we moved on with who cannot write Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzahs, and the list is Eved, Isha, Cotton, Kusi, and the Mumal Avodis Kichovim, Moisel Anosim, which is an informant, and the reason why Ukshatam, Chsaftam, Kolcha Einu Bekshira, is Einu Beksiva. Okay, Rabbi Sad, this is it for this evening, and we're going to continue Matshem tomorrow with the base. Good evening.